Radio 4. It's 8:30. Saturday Night Theatre.
Daniel Massey as Lewis Harper in Everything is Thunder by Michael Robson, with Anthony Newlands, Patricia Gallimore, Gabriel Wolfe, Sheila Grant, and Hugh Manning. Everything is Thunder.
Less than a month ago, I was a complacent and relatively useful member of the community. My life was orderly and pleasurable. Squash twice a week for the look of the thing. An occasional round of golf. Drinks at the club now and again with colleagues. A regular income and a satisfying occupation. At 40, I was a man who might not go very far, but I'd gone far enough to meet my never too outlandish requirements. Then, one Monday afternoon in April, I was summoned to the managing director's office.
Lewis, come you in.
And sit me down.
What? Oh, yes, of course, yes. Had coffee, eh?
I have.
Cigarette?
Not just now, thanks.
I see. Well, then.
Well, then. You intimated in the pub on Friday that we should have, a basis for discussion.
Absolutely.
I do wish you'd sit down, Alec. Making me jumpy all this pacing about.
Sorry. Yeah, I've been totally preoccupied the entire weekend, didn't sleep a wink.
The Triton merger?
That and concomitant problems.
Problems? But this is what you wanted, isn't it? A clear field of operations with your one contender safely amalgamated.
Yes, well, that in itself, of course, is fine.
Then why the hangdog manner?
Well, it isn't quite as simple as I'd hoped.
Oh, come on, you never expected it would be simple.
In taking over Triton, we're obliged to take on three of their admin staff as directors of a new parent company.
Oh, that is a bore. I can see that.
It's also expensive, exceedingly costly, I must tell you.
And what else are you trying to tell me?
Merrick of Triton has pretty well the same range and length of experience as you have, and to buy out Triton, we had to take on Merrick. And no alternative, I assure you, though we haggled for days.
And I'm expected to work with Merrick. Alec?
Merrick brooks no rivals.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You're giving me the push after 18 years?
He has contacts we need for our continuing health.
This is the golden hand.
Lewis, you're only 40. You have incomparable experience of merchant banking. You're fit, you're single, you're well-liked. You'll fall on your feet. We've voted you a 15,000 quid farewell, tax-free. If you'll clear your desk by Friday. I'm sorry, old Scott. I really am truly, desperately sorry. But there was no alternative.
Thus, my decline began. In a large office overlooking Lombard Street. A decline from merchant banking through emotional lunacy to flagrantly dangerous actions. And yet, looking back, I don't see how I could or would have acted differently. It was a letter that started the rot.
My dear old Lewis, so you've got the boot. I've had no better news all year. You were becoming such a grey old devil, I began to wonder if you weren't slowly turning into a letter of credit, a piece of collateral shoring up Threadneedle Street. Anyway, you're finished and you're free. And you're on the loose. So, of course, you must come and see us. Let there be no delay. Weather in the Auvergne this time of year is chancy, but a damn sight better than your London street. Marie's is already preparing scandalously expensive food, so you must stay at least a month. We shall expect you yesterday. All love, Charlie and Marie's.
Charlie and Marie's own and run a small vineyard near Langogne, by the headwaters of the Allier. The wine's usually indifferent and often repulsive, so they make a steady loss most years, but they don't give a damn. They're living the life they enjoy, and Marie's private income ensures they'll never go short of a crust or a pillow. So, Through the Auvergne I drove. And the further I left London behind, the more my spirits lightened. For the first time in my life, I was free of all obligations except to myself. And I was beginning to relish the experience.
When was he last so damn debonair, Mary?
Ah, you're certainly bearing up better than we expected, Louis. Maybe it was a necessary evil, this dismissal of yours.
It's easy on the garlic, old girl. Huh? Louis hasn't got our peasant taste yet.
This preparation is all directed towards a little dinner party in honor of your arrival, Louis.
Oh, for goodness.
We've invited two very charming acquaintances of ours. They have a little place a few kilometres away. They use it as a holiday retreat.
Oh, little place. A renovated chateau, no less.
Oh, you do exaggerate, Charlie. Max has done it up very tastefully. There's nothing in the least ostentatious about him.
This tasteful Max, Max van Lint, is one of your all-time megaton Swiss financiers. Where you and I think in hundreds, he deals in billions.
Oh, he's handsome and amusing and distinguished and... excellent company. Oh, you like him and Natasha. I know you will.
Natasha, wife of the incomparable Max?
Not wife.
Oh.
Chum, shall we say?
Oh, don't be absurd. She's his lover.
Just look at her face. Will you just look at her face? The Gallic salaciousness of it. Maurice is delighted to know that a 55-year-old like Max can still run a mistress like Natasha, who can't be a day more than 30 years his junior.
Well, does it matter? He looks after her beautifully. He adores her.
Adores? That's not adoration, my pet. Obsession, perhaps?
No, why be so gloomy and mysterious? Natasha's just about the most beautiful girl any of us has ever seen. So, of course, Max is protective. Why, you, Charlie, you positively crouch at her feet whenever she comes here.
You're crackers, the pair of you. How am I supposed to measure up to such starry company?
Get a bottle of house wine down your champ and you'll glow in any company.
Oh, that was marvelous, Marie. If ever I turn my hand to hotel ownership, I'll know just where to look for my first head chef.
You put my efforts to shame, you really do.
Oh, guests like you two can come any time.
Provided you stay for the washing up. Well, now, brandy, everyone?
If you don't mind, I think I'll...
Oh, poor Louis. Was it all a bit too rich for you?
It was... terrific, really it was. But I think I need a breath of fresh air before starting on the liqueurs. Would you excuse me?
Of course. You're sure that you're all right?
Well, certain. I should only be 5 minutes.
Louis.
Here.
You were expecting me.
I hoped you'd come. A long time ago, over 20 years ago, two friends and I went on a walking tour of Scotland. By the time we reached the northwest coastline, the weather had turned against us. For 3 days, we saw nothing but rain. We felt nothing but rain and wind and occasional raw gusts from the sea. We were soaked and dispirited. We thought of abandoning the whole project and grabbing the first train back to England. Then... it must have been around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The clouds began to lift. The sun shattered us. It was an intense white dazzle. We stood on this moorland track, wincing, quite unable to look ahead. After the storm, the smell of the earth was fierce, but aromatic, like the first fragrance of the east. We'd been cold and hungry and drenched, but we forgot all that. I heard Richard draw in his breath and say... I don't believe it. 50 yards away and looking out to sea was a great stag, motionless. Where he'd come from, heaven knows. How he hadn't seen us. We felt locked in a terrible enchantment. I thought my heart was going to burst.
Are you always as intense as this with people you hardly know?
What matters is saying it. When it matters.
What do you know about me, really?
I know that I want you more than any other woman I've ever seen.
But why? Why me?
If you hadn't been aware of this intensity, you'd never have come out here to be with me.
It frightens me.
Frightens me?
I don't want to be responsible for...
What?
It's very clear you have an image of me which bears no resemblance to the reality. This is all summer lightning.
You won't discourage me.
But I have to. I have to.
Because of Max? I've got to see you again.
No.
Tomorrow morning. Can you be free around noon?
The auberge in the village. Chez Michel, it's called, I think.
I'll find it.
Is this what you really want?
You can't deny what's already happened.
Tomorrow, then. At noon.
But you must have made some mistake, Louis. I'm sure Natasha would never have let you down deliberately.
There is no mistake, none. Midday, chez Michel. Today. Natasha says so herself. I was there from 11:30 to 3:00. No Natasha, no telephone call, no message, nothing.
It's bizarre. And I should have thought uncharacteristic of her.
Perfectly obvious that Max was behind it.
But she's not his wife. She's not his prisoner.
You're very much in love with her, aren't you?
Oh, it's preposterous. Last night, Charlie said that Max was obsessed with the girl. I took it with a pinch of salt, then I saw her. And immediately I was obsessed. And I've been stood up and I'm humiliated and hurt and angry. Look, these are all the symptoms of adolescence. But I'm 40 years old and I should know a damn sight better.
Why are you feeling so sorry for yourself? You have everything to offer an intelligent woman.
6'2" and 13 stone, with a commercial mind and the appearance of an aging athlete. The only athletic thing I've done in 20 years is lift a pint of beer to my mouth.
Oh. All right, you're a has-been, so forget her.
I say, steady on, old girl.
I will not steady on, Charlie. Now, if he loves that girl, let him fight for her. Now, if he can't be bothered to make the effort, then let him shut up and contemplate his garden. But I will not have this childish self-pity, not in my house.
Oh, good God, here's Max in the limousine.
Ah, well, Louis, now you can find what you want to know, d'accord?
She didn't turn up, Louis? How extraordinary. Before I left, she was full of excitement at the prospect of seeing you again.
When did you leave?
Oh, about 10:30.
And you got back when?
Four. Four-ish.
And she was there?
She was packing.
Packing?
She quite suddenly taking it into her mind that we must go immediately to Los Angeles.
But why? We are supposed to be having dinner with you on Saturday.
Natasha is a creature of violent impulse. When the mood's on her, there is no stopping her. It's easier to fall in with her whims.
So, when are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I'm so sorry, Maurice. We'll have to make up for this crise de nerf when we get back. Whenever that may be.
Louis! Oh, Louis, there's a letter for you.
For me?
Natasha? Isn't that her handwriting?
What does she say?
This is quite extraordinary.
My dear Louis, I'm desperately sorry I couldn't meet you yesterday. Please believe me, I did my best to come to the village, but in the end it was impossible. Now Max says we have to go to Hong Kong on Thursday, and he doesn't know when we'll be back. I only wish I knew what was going on. Everything's been so bewildering recently. Please give my love to Charlie and Maurice. You know how I feel about you, Natasha.
Hong Kong? But Max told us they were going to Los Angeles.
And why was it impossible for her to meet you?
Why did she say Hong Kong when Max said Los Angeles?
You just said that.
And I'll say it again, Max.
Which of the two do you believe?
What? Why should either of them bother to lie?
That's not an answer.
If Natasha has this affection for you, and her letter is affectionate, then I should believe her.
Well, the whole thing's crazy. Max has never been evasive before.
He's never lied before.
But that was before Louis met Natasha.
But since they're going away anyway, why should he lie about their destination? Pointless.
Perhaps he doesn't want you following them.
Are you serious?
I wasn't. Entirely. But I'm beginning to be. I mean, you aren't thinking of chasing after her, are you?
Look, Max kept her from coming to see me. It's obvious. I mean, what kind of pressure is he able to exert that he can have her dancing to his tune whether she likes it or not?
So, what are you going to do?
You're lucky. You slept for 2 hours. Slept like a baby since takeoff.
Oh, God, have I?
Fancy a drink. You'll be feeling pretty dry now.
What a good idea.
Sir, what's it to be? Champagne?
Beer will do admirably.
Couple of beers, please, Dick.
Coming up, Mr. Waring.
You're a regular, then, on this flight?
Hong Kong? No, not really. But I'm with British Airways, as it were.
Ah, but you know Hong Kong?
Oh, tolerably well.
Your beers, gentlemen.
Thank you. Ah, yes. Yes, I reckon almost anyone who spends a month or more in Hong Kong can get to know it tolerably well. Small place, the island. Is this your first visit?
Yes.
Where are you staying?
I hadn't given it a thought.
Well, no problem this time of year. Easy to get in most of the hotels. A business trip?
Not really. Just curious, I suppose.
Will you be staying long?
It depends how long it takes to satisfy my curiosity.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we shall shortly be landing at Kai Tak Airport, would you fasten your safety belts now? Please observe the no smoking regulations, which will be enforced until you enter the airport building. Thank you.
I suppose this is where I say welcome to Hong Kong. Welcome to Hong Kong.
Thanks. Look, I don't want to trespass on your time, but I wonder if you could advise me.
At once, steer clear of gambling, stick to the celibate life, learn to enjoy using chopsticks.
What I had in mind was more a matter of information. And since you're with British Airways, you might be able to help.
Try me.
A couple of friends of mine arrived in Hong Kong yesterday, I think. Is there any way of finding out from your people if they did arrive, and if so, where they might be staying?
As to part one, no problem. They keep records of arrival for 3 months. In part two, I can have a word with the immigration people. Place of stay is always to be entered on that little white card you hand in.
Will it involve you in a lot of work?
Nothing that a couple of whiskies won't put right. What are your friends' names?
The man is Max van Lint. I-N-D-T. Travelling on a Swiss passport, I imagine. The girl is called Natasha Arabin. I'm not sure what passport she carries.
Van Lint, her name seems familiar. Isn't he a big wheel in the Cornelius consortium?
I've no idea. All I do know is that he's a heavy figure on the international banking scene, though he keeps it very quiet, and I believe his headquarters are in Geneva.
Must be the same fellow. It makes it easier, too. He's said to have had VIP treatment from start to finish. They'll know all about him at Kai Tak. In any event, what you'd better do is this. Once you've cleared customs, go to the airport bar, and I'll join you as soon as I've run your influential buddies to earth.
Chinese cars, sweet foot Hong Kong, is an island 10 miles long. But the whole world knows Hong Kong through a girl named Susie Wong. Refugees can
Waring, I'm here.
I'm feeling the humidity already.
How'd you get on?
Passengers Lynx and Arabian arrived yesterday. We gave their destination in Hong Kong as the Mandarin Hotel.
The Mandarin Hotel? Is it easy to get to?
Sure. At the moment we're in Kowloon, take a taxi. It'll go through the tunnel Hong Kong side. The Mandarin's well known. You'll have no problems.
This is marvellous. Let me buy you a drink.
I'd love to join you, but something's cropped up. I'll have to deal with it once.
Then let me give you dinner one evening next week.
I'd enjoy that. Here's a card. You can always find me or leave a message for me there.
Foreign Correspondence Club.
That's the place. You'll look me up when you're ready and we'll put the nosebags on. Sorry to dash like this, Harper, but you know how it is. Bye.
Ah, good evening, sir, and welcome to Hong Kong.
What a very welcoming place it is.
Sir?
I'd like a room for a week. I haven't made a reservation.
Thank you, sir. For a week.
That's right. Oh, and incidentally, could you let me have the room numbers of two friends of mine? They booked in last night.
Certainly, sir. Their names would be...
Mr. Van Lint and Miss Arabin. I've written them down here.
Thank you, sir. I shan't keep you a moment.
Thank you.
Sir, you sure your friends were booking in here and not at the Furama or perhaps the Hilton?
No, the Mandarin, quite definitely.
I am sorry, sir, but neither of these people has booked in, nor did they make a reservation and cancel it.
But that's impossible. They gave this hotel as their place of residence on their immigration cards.
Then they must have changed their minds very suddenly, sir.
By nine the following morning, I'd made a list of all the principal hotels in Hong Kong and Kowloon. And from then until 11:30, I rang every one of them. No one had heard of Max or Natasha. Now, this was absurd, frustrating, and increasingly mysterious. They were here, quite clearly, on this tiny rock in the South China Sea. But how to find them amongst 5 million people? I had one hope, one contact only, and I had to use him. I had no idea why Waring was being so extraordinarily helpful to me when he was clearly a very busy man indeed. But I was prepared to grasp at any straw, however ambiguous it might eventually prove to be. So I left a message for Waring, and later that day he telephoned me and set up a meeting at the Foreign Correspondence Club.
Now let's get one thing straight this evening. You're my guest here, and under rule, guests can buy nothing except cigarettes.
Oh.
Down your beer and tell me what's on your mind.
Max and Natasha didn't book in at the Mandarin. Nor are they in any other hotel in the colony. I've checked them all. By God, I've checked them.
Curious?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Why are you so keen to meet them?
Oh, that's a long story. On the face of it, it's stupid, but...
How about letting me be the judge of that?
All right. Well... I met them both in France at the home of friends of mine. I arranged to see Natasha the following day, but Van Lint turned up and said Natasha had suddenly made up her mind to go to Los Angeles.
What?
Odd to begin with. Then I received a very jumpy letter from Natasha saying that Van Lint had to go to Hong Kong. And she was right. Here they are. So why the lies?
Perhaps Van Lint scented a financial killing in Hong Kong. Didn't want the world to know his plans. Business camouflage isn't a crime, you know.
But what about that entry on the immigration card? Wouldn't you call that deliberate misrepresentation?
It isn't something to give the authorities sleepless nights. Well, so long as your friends behave themselves while they're here, why should anyone object to an incognito presence on the island?
I don't know, but I can't give up. Now I've come halfway across the world to find her.
This club's as good a place as any to make a start. Well, financial reporters, Southeast Asian stringers for most of the major European and American newspapers are members. Now, put the word around. Quietly. See what I can come up with.
I feel absolutely helpless and very dependent on you. All I can give you is gratitude.
For the time being, that'll do very nicely. When an occasion arises for something... more substantial. I'll let you know.
There was nothing I could do now but wait, hope, and rubberneck. So I did some rubbernecking. I saw nightfall from Repulse Bay. I used the Star Ferry 4 times a day for the sheer pleasure of sea travel. I took a train from Kowloon into the New Territories and spent 2 hours at Tai Po Market looking at fish's lips and shark's fins and every imaginable entrail from the animal world hung up for sale. I ate dim sum with Chinese workmen in Shek Kong and buttered toast with reminiscent colonials in Middle Bay. I talked to easy girls in Wan Chai and expensive girls at Pearl City. But all the time, I was on the qui vive for a tall girl with heavy golden hair and an immaculate Swiss banker. But each night, there was the loneliness. The high chair for one in the captain's bar, the Mandarin. 3 days went by without a word from Waring, but I felt I couldn't pester the man any further. He had problems of his own and a life to lead quite unconnected with mine. Yet Waring proved much more persistent than I'd given him credit for.
There you are. Thought I might find you
here. Ah.
Mine's a large John Collins tonight, I think.
Right. Waiter.
Yes, sir?
A large John Collins and a beer, please.
One large John Collins and one beer. Coming up.
Thank you. Good to see you again. How have things been?
Strenuous.
Any news of Van Lint?
Not a murmur. He's gone to Earth very thoroughly somewhere.
Press friends, no help?
No, they were interested. Keenly interested. They'd all like to know what he's up to here. And they'd made every sort of inquiry, but still drawn a blank.
Your drink, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Great.
Well, cheers anyway.
Cheers.
Could the pair of them have gone on somewhere else? Manila, perhaps, or Taiwan?
Not without clearance through immigration. No. They're somewhere on the colony.
Well, then they must be staying with friends.
If that really is the case, there's only one course of action open to you.
And what's that?
If you can't find them, you must let them find you.
What?
No, it isn't as crazy as it sounds. Look, Europeans here dote on news from home on television and radio. Anyone fresh to the island is worth a few minutes of airtime if they've anything remotely interesting to talk about. Now, just suppose I were to give you a spot on a TV chat show. Couldn't you take it from there?
Why would they want to talk to me? I have nothing remotely interesting to say.
Come on, there must be something you could dine out on.
Well?
Yeah?
About 8 years ago, I once shared a taxi with a snake charmer.
What more do you want? Stand by for a call from Sally Richardson of RTV.
And as she got out of the taxi, the snake charmer said, when the chips are down, you can always rely on mice.
Well, thank you, Louis Harper, for that delightful little story about a very unusual human being. But tell me, are you still a believer in the continuance of the British monarchy?
Well, what would happen to Hong Kong if it stopped? Would you call it a cabinet colony?
Right. Touché, Louis. But tell me, are you enjoying your stay in Hong Kong?
It's quite an experience, I can assure you. But I'd enjoy it even more if I could catch up with two very good friends of mine.
You mean you can't find them in a tiny place like this?
So far, I haven't caught up with them, and the truth is I have some important papers for them to sign.
Gee, that's a real shame. Do you think they'll be watching the programs then?
I'm relying on it. Max and Natasha, it's good news. And you can get in touch with me through Sally here.
Max and Natasha, I sincerely hope you'll reach them, Louis. And meantime, I'd like to thank you, Louis, for coming on the show this evening.
Thank you, Sally, very much indeed. Room 412.
Good evening, Mr. Harper. I saw you this evening on television. I think I can help you.
To find Max Van Lint?
You know the Peak Tram?
I know of it, yes.
Take it to the summit. Be at the bar of the Peak restaurant at 10:30 this evening.
How shall I recognize you?
I shall recognize you, Mr. Harper.
The tramway, which has been operating perfectly successfully for 80 years, climbs precipitously from the center of Victoria up 1,800 feet to the top of the highest mountain on the island. In theory, you can, from the summit, have access to one of the most remarkable panoramas in the civilized world. In theory. But that night, as on so many nights, the peak was entirely covered with cloud. All I saw was swirling water vapor. But at that stage, I was uninterested in views. The restaurant was almost empty. A few dispirited visitors picked at their food and stared glumly out of the windows at the oppressive banks of clouds. I went to the bar and ordered a whiskey. I was getting tired of waiting at bars for someone to contact me.
Mr. Harper?
Yes?
My name is Choi Seng Chin. We spoke half an hour ago. Would you care to join me over there?
Thank you.
Okay, paper down.
Chicka there.
Well then, Mr. Cheng, you're an associate of Max van Lint's?
I can tell you how to find him.
When can I talk to him?
Tonight.
You've moved very fast. The show didn't end till 7:30.
As you've probably realized by now, Mr. van Lint isn't anxious to have his whereabouts generally known. With you, it's different. I gather you're a friend of his.
An acquaintance?
More than that, surely.
Well, does it matter? I want to talk to him. He evidently wants to talk to me. How do we meet?
When you finish your drink, take the tram down again as far as the Bowen Road stop. Get off there and wait. Someone will take you to meet your friend.
Bowen Road?
That's right. Take your time. I'm leaving now, but I paid for your whiskey. Au revoir, Mr. Harper. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Mr. Cheng. This is Bowen Road stop, is it? Oh, thank you so much. The tram clanked away down the hillside and I was left alone at this tiny halt. I could see almost nothing. The clouds smothered vision. Moist trees dripped. And from Victoria Harbour, I heard the dim boom of foghorns. No one was waiting for me. I lit a cigarette and paced about restlessly. I felt chilled and apprehensive and longed for the warmth and welcome of the hotel.
Mr. Harper?
Mr. Harper?
Mr. Harper?
I saw four of them emerge quite slowly from the cloud and darkness below me. They advanced cautiously, strung out across the steps. I was far bigger than any of them individually, but there were four of them. And how many more behind me?
Mr. Harper?
My name's Baxter. What's yours?
Mr. Harper.
Never, ever talk to strangers!
Hey, what's that here? So no one playing.
It's Murray again, Harper. Murray.
Well, now, it could be worse, I suppose. The doctor tells me you can leave the hospital today. Well, at least they didn't rob you, and the hospital certainly will.
No, you're a great comfort, Inspector. Nothing like a broad grin at someone else's misfortune.
Well, you're alive, aren't you? All your teeth intact, no bones broken. There, what's a black eye and strapped ribs to a fella your size?
Very painful.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and we're doing what we can. Now, according to you, the man behind it is this Max van Lint, and we've had no more success than you in finding him. And we have to proceed cautiously, you understand, because we haven't proved he set those thugs on you.
But you do accept a likely connection.
Naturally. And when we find Lint, as we shall be asking him a whole lot of questions. Now, in the meantime, tell me about this contact man. What do you call himself again?
Choi Seng Cheng.
Ah, well, it's like looking for a Bruce Smith in Auckland.
This man was about 35.
Uh-huh.
Heavily built, well-dressed, horn-rimmed spectacles, thick dark hair, gold ring, gold fillings, gold watch, hideous shoes.
Hideous shoes?
Like something you'd see the adulterer wearing in a French farce. Party-coloured, patent leather shoes clash with everything else he was wearing.
So, that's Mr. Fixit. Now, what about the bully boys?
It was dark and cloudy, and I was too busy trying to kick them into the harbour to see their faces clearly, and they were too busy knocking me down.
Did you hurt any of them badly?
I may have done. I was angry enough and frightened enough. But it was all over very quickly. I really couldn't tell you what damage I may have done.
Hmm. Now, what's clear is this. They worked you over very carefully. Anything really serious, and someone might have shot them. Anything less, and you mightn't have got the message.
The message?
Well, if we accept there's a tie between Lint and the shindig at Bowen Road, then he's telling you in the most direct way possible to keep out of his hair.
Who is it?
Waring.
Ah, come in.
Rumour has it you've been brushing with the triads. Oh, rumour was right. You look a ruin.
Thanks. I need all the encouragement I can get.
I knew you'd see it that way.
Hmm. What's all this about triads?
The triads, the tongs, if you like, are illegal Chinese secret societies. They're into everything from drug running through prostitution to protection rackets. Judging by what Murray told me last evening, one of the triads was approached to work you over, and they seem to have fulfilled their contract very prettily.
Oh, thanks very much.
I gather you believe Van Lint was behind it?
Who else could it be? Who else would beat me up but not rob me? And I was carrying quite a lot of cash at the time.
Hmm. It's an attractive premise, certainly. It's going to be almost impossible to make it stick. Lint, if it was Lint, it'd be working through 2, 3, possibly 4 intermediaries when he put out the contract. And you don't get too many informers within the triads. They know the penalty for narking to the police.
You seem extraordinarily well informed about the Hong Kong underworld.
It's common knowledge. But I'd say you were lucky. They could have maimed you for life if they'd wanted to.
Meaning next time they will, unless I keep out of Van Lint's life.
I should have thought so. Oh, wouldn't you?
The whole thing's a scandal. Have I offered any threat to Van Lint or Natasha?
Yes, well, presumably he has his reasons for wanting you clear of his area of operations.
What reason? What possible reason?
Well, you are, or were, a successful merchant banker. A Lint's into the same bag, albeit on a much larger scale. How's he to know you're what you say you are, and not some troubleshooter from the International Monetary Fund?
Are you serious?
Well, ask yourself this. Would it be a feasible proposition from his point of view? And first of all, you turn up in a remote vineyard in your van, and whom should you meet but Max Van Lint? And next, within a brace of shakes, you're arranging a private rendezvous with his mistress. Could it be to discuss Lint's financial schemes? And thirdly, you travel hotfoot to Hong Kong after him when he's told you he's going to Los Angeles. And you publicly blow the fact that he's on the island in a popular television show. I mean, through his way of thinking, you're either a God's fool or a very assiduous investigator indeed.
Hmm. And what do you think?
Well, does it matter what I think? You offer no threat to me.
The whole thing's got utterly out of hand. All I want is to see Natasha.
Yeah. In the meantime, what are you intending to do today?
Well, I was thinking of going Kowloonside, visit a tailor, get measured for a suit and some shirts.
Hmm. And then don't go by taxi. Take the Star Ferry. There's safety in numbers.
I always take the Star Ferry. So, once again, I was heading for Kowloon. Not so much to kill time as to annihilate it. My face was still swollen and sore. My ribs still hurt me. But that particular day, I was just glad to be out in the harbour, under a mercifully cloudless sky. Then, I saw, out of the corner of my eye, a tall, slim European girl with heavy golden hair. Natasha.
Natasha!
Louis?
My God, I've been combing the island for you.
Louis, what's happened to your face? What have you been doing?
I'll tell you. Over a drink at the Peninsula.
Yes, but why all the secrecy? Why did Max lie to us? And why wouldn't he let you meet me that day?
It's so difficult to explain.
Well, the least you can do is try.
Oh, it was quite obvious to Max that night that you and I had... that we suddenly had this tremendous thing going for us. He was jealous. You can understand that, can't you?
That still doesn't explain...
You don't know anything about Max and me, do you? How could you expect to understand?
I could try, if you'd let me.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap like that.
Why are you so jittery?
What?
Nervous. Tense.
For the past 8 years, my way of life hasn't been conducive to restfulness. Always travel, always variety, always business. Always the sense of things happening behind locked doors in remote and ambiguous places.
What hold has Max got over you?
Hold?
Don't echo me. Answer me. Why do you stay with Max if life with him is so unsatisfactory?
I don't want to talk about it.
What else is there to talk about? That's at the heart of the matter.
I first met Max 8 years ago through my father. I believe Max put money into my father's business when no one else wanted to invest. Max was just at the rough end of a divorce at the time, and I suppose he found me agreeably different from his recent wife. And I was flattered. Who wouldn't be at that age? He's handsome, distinguished, charming.
And rich?
You must try not to be bitter. I didn't know you then. Yes, of course he was rich. He gets richer all the time. To satisfy society, I was taken into his entourage as social secretary. A useless term for a banal occupation. I could neither type nor take shorthand. All I had was my presence.
And you were lovers by then?
Not for a long time after his divorce. Max is curiously fastidious about certain things. But eventually, yes.
Why hasn't he married you? Natasha?
It's all very complicated.
I'm prepared to listen all day, if necessary. You'll have lunch with me, of course.
Of course. But I'll have to make a telephone call first.
To Max? A call to Max?
No. No, to a friend. A girlfriend of ours in Kowloon. She was half expecting me for lunch, but I'd much rather stay with you. Shan't be a moment.
And she didn't come back.
She didn't come back. Once again, I was stuck at a bar ordering drinks I didn't want, looking at my watch and waiting for Natasha. I waited for half an hour and left a note with the bartender with my telephone number at the hotel in case Natasha eventually didn't go back there. Where the hell is going on? She had every intention of having lunch with me before she made that telephone call.
Presumably to Van Lent, and not to the girlfriend in Kowloon.
Who else could have changed her mind so suddenly? It has to be Van Lent. And I still don't know where they're staying. Van Lent's manipulating her, of course. I get the feeling the whole time that she wants to break away from him, but can't.
Or don't?
Well, the one presupposes the other, doesn't it? I think I shall have to contact the police.
Would that be wise? In the first place, you've got nothing to go to them with but doubts. In the second place, if Natasha is under some kind of duress, surely a lot of coppers scampering round is going to make matters far worse for her.
I don't know. The whole thing's such a mess. Where are we going, by the way?
To my apartment in MacDonald Road.
You have an apartment here?
No, company owned, of course. I asked a friend of mine to meet us there. Take your mind off things for a while. I think you'll like her.
Good. That'll be the young charmer now. All right, all right. I'm on my way, you impatient beast. Hello, darling.
Hello, David. How have you been?
Devastated till you arrived.
Oh.
Come and meet Harper, the unfortunate traveller. I've been telling you about Helen Lee, Lewis Harper. Lewis?
How do you do, Helen?
How do you do?
Now, you must be extremely agreeable to her, Harper, because not only is she quite the most gorgeous girl the Chinese ever produced, but her old man's quite the richest chap in the colony, so...
Oh, he always says that about me. Don't listen to a word of it.
I said because it's true, and in a moment she'll blush.
You're quite hopeless, David, and if you go on like this, I shall have to leave.
You can't possibly leave, because that's what I have to do. Now...
What?
But I've only just arrived.
Sorry, darlings, but there's a VIP due at Kai Tak in half an hour. If I'm not there to meet him, my head's on the platter. I'm sure you'll get along beautifully without me. Helen, you know what to do about the keys and things. Bye now.
Well, is he generally like this?
Sometimes. But I'm sure you know him much better than I do.
I've known him for rather less than a week.
But he spoke of you so warmly, I assumed you were a very old friend.
Oh, listen, do let's sit down. Helen, would you care to tell me precisely what David Waring does?
He's He's with British Airways.
So he told me, but in what capacity?
I've no idea. Something fairly grand, I should imagine. He lives rather well, really.
Indeed he does. And he seems to be on intimate terms with every influential person in Hong Kong.
Oh, he is. But it's a small place, you know.
Mm. People keep telling me that. Would you like a drink?
Not for me, thank you. But you go ahead, please.
You never drink?
Well, I'd like to, but it makes me ill. Actually ill. So I don't.
Well, then let me give you dinner somewhere.
Are you hungry?
Not really.
Neither am I. Why don't we just talk?
What a very refreshing girl you are.
Thank you.
Well, what should we talk about?
You could tell me what you're doing here for a start.
I see. Well, it's not going to mean anything to you. But I'm looking for two people. A girl called Natasha Arabin and a Swiss financier by the name of Max van Lint.
Van Lint? Max van Lint? But I know that name, I'm sure of it.
Hmm?
My father's mentioned him. Louis, if it's all right with you, I'll ask around a little. My father's fairly communicative with me when it's a matter of business.
Louis Harper?
Louis? It's Helen.
It's all worked out far easier than I'd expected.
In what way?
My father is in touch with Max van Lint.
He is?
Let me explain. My father is concerned with almost every possible aspect of Hong Kong commercial life. Cinemas, restaurants, nightclubs, textiles, building, property, and banking. Evidently, van Lint was in touch with my father almost as soon as he and Natasha arrived. They've spoken two or three times by telephone since then. And my father is due to meet him tomorrow. For a full financial discussion of some new deal they're planning.
But this is fantastic. Where are they meeting?
Where van Lint to stay. The Marco Polo suite at the Peninsula.
The Peninsula? That's where Natasha vanished.
Yes. I thought of that when my father told me the rendezvous. When I telephoned van Lint to make the appointment, I discovered the suite was booked for 3 weeks in the name of a Swiss mercantile company, Cornelius de Tee.
That's how he got round personal registration.
It would seem so. Louis, my father asked me to set up the meeting for 1 o'clock. That's when he and his solicitors will arrive. But I told van Lint it was for 12:30. That gives you exactly 30 minutes to do what you have to do and get out.
Sir?
I'm representing Mr. Howard Lee. I have an appointment with Mr. van Lint.
But a meeting is for 1 o'clock, sir.
Now tell Mr. van Lint I'm here. My name's Harper.
Harper. Very well, sir. Would you please
Harper,
wait?
Harper, my dear fellow, come in. Good to hear from you again. So, you finally made
just what the hell has been going on?
Do take a chair, Harper.
Where's Natasha?
In the guest room. She'll be here presently.
How much did you pay Choi Sang Cheng?
You have me at a disadvantage.
Choi Sang Cheng. The man who set the bully boys on to work me over.
The fact remains that you're here. Discolored, perhaps, but persistent. What am I going to do with you?
Let Natasha go. Let her come to me.
You'd accept her?
Oh.
Would you accept her? I wonder if you knew her half as well as I do.
Both of you see virtue in nuance. You revel in obscurity.
For a reason.
What reason?
Louis, you can't fail to have realized that Natasha's a complicated and highly strung girl. She's given to sudden flights of fancy, passionate attachments, and equally fierce withdrawals. She's also inclined greatly to dramatize herself and her circumstances. She hasn't yet succeeded in establishing a stable personality.
Given your lifestyle, who could?
I have no such problem.
Well, you've had the time. You're 30 years older than she is.
I like you, Lewis. You have an integrity I admire.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, I mean it. What did Carlyle call Robespierre? The sea green incorruptible. You are also a sea green incorruptible, as I certainly am not. As Natasha sadly is not.
Hello, Lewis.
I'll leave you to it. Natasha, my dear.
Natasha?
It doesn't get any easier, does it?
To stand me up once was understandable, just. Twice is unforgivable.
Oh, Lewis, the same pressures were brought to bear.
If you don't want to see me again, why not say so and have done?
Because you know that isn't the case.
Just what is the case?
Please. Try not to be angry with me. I can't bear it. When you're angry, I want to cry. And when I cry, I can't talk sense.
But I am angry, more than angry. Furious.
With me? Only with me?
With whatever's making you behave as you're behaving. Have you no mind of your own?
My mind is very much my own, but my loyalties are divided.
You've seen too many bee pictures.
Oh, Lewis.
Is it a straight choice between Max and me?
If only it were.
Looking beautiful and tragic isn't going to help any. Without your decision, the whole pack of us are condemned to a life on hot bricks. And I know who's been doing most of the sweating so far.
You have every right to be angry and disgusted.
I think so.
But I think Max intends to come up with a solution.
Max? Why must Max be the arbiter of your life and mine?
Because he has the power and the means.
I see. Love counts for nothing?
It's dictating his life as well as ours.
You're a remarkable devil's advocate, aren't you?
Oh, Lewis, why are we quarreling like this?
Because I want the issues made plain. I love you, and I want you to share my life. You maintain that Max feels the same way. That's his privilege. That and that only. It's up to you to make the decision. Max and I are already committed.
So, meeting concluded. Well, now, Lewis, I have a meeting of my own in 5 minutes, as you are aware, and what you and I have to discuss will take time. Will you have lunch with me tomorrow?
Why don't we just talk?
Have you been to Lemma Island?
No.
Oh, you'll like it. About 6 kilometers west of Repulse Bay, and at this time of the year, very peaceful. There's an inlet there known as Picnic Bay, and overlooking the jetty there is a restaurant. Meet me there at 12:30 tomorrow. I'd rather that you weren't late.
Here's the jetty.
It looks far from secure.
What time is it?
12:15.
Good, you're early.
I wanted to get here before Max shows up. Anywhere he can be, I can be earlier.
I think I'd better go now, Lewis.
What'll you do?
I shall take the motorboat round the promontory, well out of sight, and have lunch in Loktal Village. When would you like me to come back for you?
3:15, 3:30.
I'll be waiting here at 3:30. And, Lewis, be careful.
It's very good of you to do all this for me.
I want to help.
Oh, God, what a mess. What an absurd mess. Thank you, Helen. You're a very dear person.
So are you.
See you.
See you at 3:30.
The sun was intensely hot that day, and there wasn't a breath of wind. The jetty swayed as I gingerly walked down it towards the restaurant. It looked absurdly out of place, somehow. A stucco temple with a small forecourt in which a few bald and dispirited dogs lay about, panting. They took absolutely no notice of me as I entered the patio and stared around. Some plastic tables, unwashed, were ranged about the place, haphazard. ants made determined forays on fragments of decaying fish, and I began to wonder if this was some practical joke of Max's. But I was, after all, early for the appointment. I lit a cigarette and contemplated East Lamma Channel.
Enjoying the view?
Where have you been?
Ordering lunch. I hope you'll like it.
But why here? Why here, of all places?
It appeals to my sense of the remote. And you must admit that you'd go far to find a better view. The Aegean, perhaps. Don't all these little islands put you in mind of the Cyclades?
I believe you have a proposition to discuss.
And discuss it with Shadow. But I'd like to make one observation. I mean it quite sincerely and in your best interests.
When you talk sincerely, I start counting my spoon.
Just hear me out. Helen Lee.
What about her?
She's been your confidant and your assistant. Without her, you would never have found me.
So?
Elder daughters of wealthy, traditional, and orthodox Chinese families aren't often to be found expending so much attention on foreigners. I think little Helen is falling in love with you.
Oh, don't be absurd.
Her father, who dotes on her, intimated as much to me yesterday. Louis, you'll be making four people very happy if you forgot about Natasha and let yourself become involved with Helen. But also save yourself a lot of anxiety and danger. No, wait. Let me ask you this. Do you love Natasha?
Oh, for God's
sake. But do you love her enough to undertake a difficult and dangerous project to win her?
You're mad.
I want something done. I need it done quickly. If you can pull it off, I shall disappear from Natasha's life and you can take it from there.
What is it you want done?
I want a man taken off Lantau Island.
What's the problem? Plenty of ferries, aren't there?
The man I'm talking about can't use public transport simply because it is public.
Police on the lookout for him?
No, not the police. Other interested parties.
He's crossed one of the triads.
Something like that, yes.
What exactly has he done?
That needn't concern you. All you have to do is to get him off the island safely and unnoticed and find him somewhere discreet to stay in Hong Kong till I send for him. You want Natasha, don't you?
You're suggesting an exchange.
I never waste time on hypothetical propositions. Bring me that man and Natasha's free to go with you. If she wants to.
You have your arrogance, don't you?
And you have your price.
I want no part of any of this.
That's your privilege. Now, let's have lunch, shall we?
Do you want to tell me, Father?
Oh, Helen, the whole thing's impossible. Crazy. Are you free tomorrow, by any chance?
I could be. Why?
I thought it might be amusing to visit Lantau. I haven't been there yet. Would it appeal to you?
It would be very nice. You sure you want me to come along?
Yes.
All right. The ferry leaves from the outlying district pier. We'll meet there at 9:15.
So my shabby misadventure began, with deceit and guilt padding at my heels. Lantau is the largest island in the colony, about twice the size of Hong Kong, but it's sparsely inhabited. The ferry put in at Silvermine Bay, and we hired a car and drove southwest along the only metalled road. We hit the coast again at Cheung Sha, then drove up into the mountains to Po Lin Monastery. Helen was in high spirits. I tried to echo her mood, but the thought of what lay ahead was too bizarre and depressing.
There. What do you think of the monastery?
Is it always covered in cloud this time of year?
Often, but not always. Are you ready to eat? They do a marvelous vegetarian meal here.
Lewis?
I'm sorry, I was...
You were thinking about your meeting with Max von Lind. Oh, Lewis, what kind of trouble are you getting yourself into?
I can't get you involved in this.
Well, can't you at least tell me what's upsetting you? I want to know.
It's weird and unlikely, but the situation is this. I have to get a man off this island. And it's possible I shall have to run the gauntlet of one of the triads to do so.
You can't be serious.
I'm afraid I am.
But why?
For the sake of Natasha Arabin.
Oh, I see. You must love her very much to run such horrible risks for her. I hope Natasha values you for what you're attempting on her account. Mm.
I wish it were all some other way.
But it isn't. Now, let me help you.
You can't.
I want to. But can't you understand? I want to.
Very well. Now, I shall put at your disposal 10,000 Hong Kong dollars. There's a number of things I need someone to buy for me.
A drink, Lewis, before we talk business.
No.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Clearly, you're not enjoying the cloak and dagger life.
You make me sick.
Oh, I'm sorry. But no one is forcing you into this situation.
You are. You force everyone into intolerable situations all the time.
Was it my fault that you met Natasha? Was it my fault you let yourself become utterly infatuated with her? I think that I am behaving extremely generously.
Only because you evidently need this man, this Fat Chow, more than you need Natasha.
Weren't you the one a few days ago who wanted to forego the social conventions and talk facts? So, shall we talk facts? How do you propose to get our Fat Chow off the island?
I've spent 4 days on Lantau thinking of nothing else. I think he can be taken off safely. Provided you find someone to give him the word well in advance.
I've no doubt that that can be seen to.
It has to be. Otherwise, it's all off.
All right, then. Just as you wish.
I want other things as well. I want a small powered craft to be anchored in shallow water, 1 mile west of Changsha for 3 days and nights. The day I intend to lift the man off, and it has to be a day when cloud is at least partially obscuring the road and the beach, I'll leave a marker on the sand at Changsha, a stick with a fragment of green linen tied to it. Our Fat Chow and I will reach the craft and sail directly to St. George's Bay on Lama Island. You'll have another boat waiting there, and you will be there in person. Hmm? You get your man, and I get Natasha.
May I offer my congratulations?
You can tell me why you need our Fat Chow so urgently and why he can't leave the island under his own steam.
Our Fat Chow has certain skills that I require. Business rivals will also like to acquire those skills. He is being watched by other men than mine. What no one will expect will be intervention from a respectable Englishman like yourself. You'll have the brief advantage of surprise. I urge you to make the most of it.
And your business rivals presumably won't hesitate to kill both our Fat and myself if we look like getting clean away.
I never promised you an Easter parade, did I?
Hmm.
Now I imagine that you want to talk to Natasha.
You'll be in danger all the way. I hope you think I'm worth it.
What kind of relationship is it when Max can barter you like a sack of pigs?
You don't like me very much, do you? You're in love with me, I think, but that's something very different.
Like you or not, I'm stuck with you. I need you. I can't foresee a life without you.
Max sees you as his greatest rival because you're a wholly honest man. He wants your head on a platter.
Stop making a performance of it, will you? This is a business deal. Why foul it up with histrionics?
What are you talking about?
Max has suggested that you're a schizophrenic. He wants me to believe you're off your rocker.
You've never come up against a man like Max before. Don't you see he'll say anything to confuse you?
Why are we always at odds?
Forget it. I shall be at Kai Tak Airport every day from the moment you set foot on Lantau. Once you have achieved what you have to, make straight for the airport. I shall be waiting for you.
I'll never forgive a third desertion.
I returned to Lantau and pitched the tent in deep cover a mile up country of Cheung Sha Beach. For 2 days, the sun shone endlessly, and I sweated and swore. The third day dawned more promisingly. Dark clouds already covered Lantau Peak, a mile from where I lay in hiding, and the clouds were descending fast. I broke cover and drove off in an old van Helen had obtained for me. When I reached Cheung Sha, the visibility was fairly poor, and I was certain no one was observing me. I placed the marker in the sand and drove off fast. I left the van, well camouflaged, not half a mile away, then took to the hills once more. The clouds were very low now, and moisture coated my hair and eyebrows. Then the storm began quite suddenly, and everything was thunder. It was obviously building towards the mother and father of all cloudbursts, and if I didn't move now, I should have no visibility at all. As I swung round the bend leading towards the beach, I could see almost nothing but heavy rain. So heavy it seemed impossible that anyone could move in it. The clouds swirled low like dense fog. I slowed the van to a crawl and moved on. Then, a drenched figure lurched across the road in front of me.
Ah, Fat Chow?
Yeah.
Get in. Quickly, get in. Were you followed?
Was I followed?
Were you?
Yeah, I was followed. What do you expect, huh?
On foot?
I guess.
Stop being vague.
What's that, man?
Were you followed on foot? And if so, by how many?
5, 6. I don't know.
All right. On foot. But they also have vehicles.
They what?
Transport. Cars, lorries, vans.
They got what they need.
Then I'm going to reverse and turn round, and we're getting out of this van.
You're mad.
Get out. Get out.
Where are you going, huh?
I'll be with you.
I took the van into second gear, pointed it off the road and towards the beach, and got out fast. It was unbelievably painful, but the van behaved beautifully. Ran through the rain and thunder into a low outcrop of rocks. Then we headed north.
Where are we making for?
Up country, away from the road. Keep moving, will you?
You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Why you burned that van?
How will they know we weren't in it? How will they know? It'll be a couple of hours at least before they know for certain. Them and the police.
Police? Why do you say police?
They're going to investigate a burning vehicle, aren't they? They'll throw a screen between that wreck and the outside world, won't they? So it'll take the people who are after you longer to get at the truth. And by then, we should be lying low.
I wish I knew what the hell was going on.
So do I, Squire. So do I.
What's that?
Dogs? Police dogs?
Police?
If the police suspect a triad was behind the wrecking of that van, they'll be out and about in force. It'll confuse whoever may be following you. But I wasn't reckoning on so fast a reaction.
Man, you're crazy. Why? Police dogs? We haven't a prayer.
In 10 minutes, we'll hit a broad stream. We wade down there for a couple of miles and then move off northwest.
A stream? Find a stream in this darkness, this weather.
I spent 4 days here planning every step of the way. Now, will you move it? quit now. They won't start again till dawn. The police and your friends will be watching the harbors now.
And tomorrow the helicopters will be out. This is all crazy, man.
Everything's crazy to you, isn't it? Every little thing. You want to make this on your own? Hmm? Do you? All right. So just keep waiting.
He must have paid you a hell of a lot to take this risk.
Who must?
Cheng.
Who?
Choi Sung Cheng.
Man about 35. Well dressed, gold teeth, gold watch, gold cufflinks, improbable shoes.
Yeah. Choi Sung Cheng.
Did you say he arranged all this?
Must have done. So why didn't we leave by that junk? The junk that was waiting for us by Chung Sha Beach.
You knew about that?
Yeah, I knew. Why wouldn't I?
You're telling me that Choi Sang Cheng was your contact man for this breakaway?
He pays guys to tip me off when to run for it. So why didn't we use the junk?
Because if you could see a moored junk waiting for 3 days off the beach, then so could whoever's following you. They'd have cut us off long before we ever got there.
Okay, so how we get off this damn island, huh?
You'll find out. Now, listen to me. Have you ever heard of a man named Van Lint?
What?
A Swiss financier called Max Van Lint.
No, man, I haven't. Why should I?
All right, let's just keep moving.
For 52 hours, we played hide-and-seek with police patrols and triad pursuers among the mountains and valleys of Lantau. We moved at night from one food cache to the next. And by day, we lay hidden and took turns on watch while the other slept. But Arfat was a terrified and disgruntled wreck. The last man on earth you want beside you in an emergency.
That village ahead. That is where our boat is waiting. In 10 minutes or so, when it's fully dark, we'll move in and investigate.
Another boat? What about the police vessels?
Do you imagine I haven't thought this all out, you fool? That village is only a mile from communist territorial waters. Once we're in that sector of the South China Sea, the colonial police can't follow us, and the triads won't.
Great. And what about the red Chinese?
You want cherries all the way, don't you?
I what?
Oh, forget it. Is he asleep now, Captain?
Yeah. The brandy helped.
Thank God. I'd have thrown him overboard if he'd done any more complaining.
A boring fellow.
Just about.
You'd better go below yourself and rest, Harper. You have a heavy day tomorrow.
Yes. You know the course?
We sail south of and parallel with the territorial limit until we reach Potoy Island.
Hmm?
Then we re-enter colonial waters and make landfall at Taiwan Bay. You change ships, make your own way back to Hong Kong.
That's right. Are there likely to be any communist military vessels about at night?
I don't think so. I hope not. But I warn you, if one of them approaches, you and your friend will go overboard.
Your directness is most refreshing. All right, I think I'll go below now.
I'll wake you when we sight Po Toi.
Harper! Harper, wake up!
What? Are we there?
Come up on deck quickly.
What's the matter?
Quickly, and bring the night lenses.
What's wrong?
There's a light, powerful vessel to starboard. Here, give me the glasses.
What is it?
Here, just see for yourself. No, follow the line of my finger.
Oh, fine.
No, over there.
Anything. Wait a moment. My God.
Well, what do you think?
Looks like an MTB.
What?
Not a torpedo boat.
Oh, that's all we need.
How far are we now from British waters?
About 10 minutes away. Get down! Get down!
Searchlight sweep. What are they looking for?
They've seen us. They're signaling. Ah, they want us to heave to.
Keep going, for God's sake.
This is where you and our pack take to a lifeboat.
You can't be serious. We're almost home and dry.
Not worth the risk. You wake our pack.
Look, man, here's $200. What? Here. There'll be another $2,000 for you at Taiwan Bay if you can get us there safely.
Huh? I can try, but it's going to be a rough ride.
Maniac shelling us!
Oh, how observant you are, Harper.
three or four more and he'll have our range.
Three or four more, he'll be shelling colonial waters.
How will he care, do you think? How much did you say at Tarwan Bay? For the 4,000?
Come on, come on! We must have passed 22 north by now.
Tell the Reds that, will you, Harper?
How nice to see you again, Lewis. Your initiative appears boundless. But why didn't you use the junk you requested me to provide instead of running the gauntlet of communist patrols? Wouldn't it have been less taxing on the nerves?
I don't trust you about anything. What guarantee did I have that a couple of your boys aboard that waiting junk weren't paid to remove me once our fat was clear?
Well, you seem to be picking up a few of the ground rules.
You're contemptible.
I'm sorry that you should feel that way. Because on the strength of these past few days, I'm beginning to realize that you have certain shining qualities. Well, our situation, other than what it is, I could offer you interesting and lucrative employment within my organization.
I want to talk to Natasha.
I thought that you might. But let me give you a final word of advice. Life with Natasha will destroy you. No, hear me out. You are basically a responsible man with charmingly archaic notions of honor and virtue. But from your world, Natasha voluntarily cut herself off several years ago. And for her, there is no going back.
You've been very quiet all afternoon. Are you sure it's what you want? To leave Max and come with me?
Of course I'm sure. It's just... It'll be strange at first, that's all. Like suddenly getting a divorce, however much you've longed for it.
Natasha, I haven't any of Max's financial resources. I'm 40 and I'm out of work. There'll be no glamour with me. No more excitement than... getting a mortgage on a house or spending a fortnight a year with Charlie and Marie. You'll be moving from pink champagne to small beer.
Oh, are you trying to put me off? Can't you believe I love you enough to settle for what we can offer one another?
I want to. Believe me, I want to. Look at me.
Hmm?
Hold my hand and look at me.
Why are you so sad?
I'm not sad. It's just that my need for you is so intense, I can't believe it'll ever be gratified. I just hope that if you feel anything like the same intensity, you won't ever become disenchanted when our lives settle into what's got to be, heaven help me, a pretty orderly routine.
But don't you see, that's what I need as much as I need you. Life with Max has been a gorgeous sham. You represent... reality, warm and loving, and yes, orderly. That's why I'll be waiting for you at the airport tomorrow. Waiting with far more hope and impatience than you think I'm capable of.
I'm glad you made it, Way.
As you rightly judged, I'm curious. Where are we going?
The airport.
Meeting who?
Natasha Arabin, briefly. Then she and I are off.
Oh. Well?
London first. Then a transfer to Paris.
And you aren't coming back to Hong Kong?
Why should I? I came here to find Natasha. I found her, and we're leaving together.
How the hell did you manage that?
Fred Lint and I did some horse trading.
In what respect?
Oh, he needed an introduction to somebody. I arranged it 10 minutes ago. As a result, he's taken the pressure off Natasha, whatever the pressure was.
Who did he want to meet?
An inconsiderable gangster named Afat Chow.
Afat Chow?
You know him?
I know something about him. Lewis, what exactly have you got yourself into?
I fulfilled a business deal, that's all.
Deal? Important enough for Van Lint to trade Natasha for this Afat Chow?
Don't ask me how or why, because I don't know. All I know is that Natasha's waiting for me at the British Airways desk. I spoke to her by telephone from the Shirama not 10 minutes ago.
If I know one thing about this, I know it smells like trouble.
Why trouble?
Certain of my colleagues, not associated with British Airways, would be very interested to know that our fat Chow's on the loose.
Why?
There's a firm belief he's tied in with certain currency swindles. Look, where did he and Van Lin meet?
At the Shirama.
Where did they go?
possibly back to Max's suite at the Peninsula.
I can trace an unbreakable connection between those two. I shall be a happier man. You've been very helpful.
How gratifying. So, in turn, you might tell me what you actually do.
I have certain responsibilities to the British Treasury, but I'll thank you to keep that information absolutely private.
It had to be something like that. Yes, of course, I'll keep it to myself. All I want now is out of this place with Natasha beside me. Where is she? In God's name, where is she?
She's not here. She can't be. Or if she is, she's decided not to show. She couldn't have missed the announcements. Impossible.
But she's crazy. I spoke to her not more than an hour ago. She was here at reception.
Lewis, your plane leaves in 10 minutes, and by rights, they should have closed the gates already.
You expect me to leave without Natasha?
If you stay on in the colony now, you'll be in deep trouble, I warn you.
Trouble?
Get it into your head. The girl has ditched you. Isn't that sufficient? She's always stood you up. Lewis, you have everything to lose by staying on.
Who are you?
You've got to trust me. Our fat char was bad news. Leave it at that. I mean it. You've lost her, Lewis. Cut your losses and run. Go on, run.
Lewis.
Oh, you're here. Oh, thank God for that.
I told you I'd be here. I didn't want to speak to that man.
You didn't want... Do you realize what I've been through, thinking you weren't coming?
I can't come with you. But I wanted to tell you face to face.
Are you crazy?
We can't get away from Max. Wherever we go, he'll always be with us.
I made a deal with him. He kept his side, so why are you lousing it up? This is our only chance.
I can't live with those kind of shadows stalking us.
You never intended to come with me.
All right, I didn't. Ever. I used you because Max wanted me to.
I don't believe you.
We can't all be like you.
I want you as you are.
You never knew me.
So, once again, I went back to the Auvergne. Back to Charlie and Marie's. To lick my wounds. But this time, the wounds were deeper.
It's an extraordinary story, Lewis. Quite extraordinary.
That's a word I've used once or twice to describe recent affairs.
Oh, Lewis, you're well out of it. That girl has fooled you far too often.
Why? Why say she'd go through with it and then vanish at the last minute?
I'm afraid it comes down to this. Max is an infinitely rich man, and Natasha's grown used to living with his kind of unbelievable luxury. She must have decided, however deeply she appeared to feel about you, that she couldn't give it up.
She's worthless. Worthless!
Oh, come on, Marie.
But it's true, isn't it, Charlie?
What have I learned this past fortnight? To fall in love, to fall excessively in love at my time of life has brought me grotesque misadventure and unendurable heartache. I should have clung to my self-sufficiency. I shan't make the same mistake again.
I'm not sure that's true. It was salutary. To know you could feel as well as think. You were becoming very complacent, Lewis, but you didn't recognize it. However much it may hurt now, it's... not inappropriate that you should have had this bouleversement. I'm sure of it.
Oh, now, steady on, Hope.
No, I will not steady on. Lewis, you know we love you, Charlie and I. Oh, I wouldn't be saying this to you now. You've had a good life and a soft life for 40 years. And what's happened? You fell for a girl who led you a dance and then let you down. that it all happened in exotic places and in strange circumstances doesn't alter the central fact. And it happens to almost everyone at some time in their lives. So, you should be thankful it happened now, and not when you're 50 or 60 and far less flexible.
Well, Lewis?
I'm about to count my blessings. Oh, I'm not quite over the top yet. I have money in the bank and a flat in London I can call my own. I have good friends. Next week, I shall pick up the threads and go job hunting. It shouldn't be too difficult. Just once in my life, I've lived dangerously. Just once, I wagered far too high, and I lost. And that makes me a better man, a more fulfilled man, a more complete man. Perhaps you're right. But it hurts. Oh, Charlie. Marie. Oh, God, how it hurts.
In Everything is Thunder by Michael Robson, the part of Lewis Harper was played by Daniel Massey. Max Van Lint by Anthony Newlands, Natasha Arabin by Patricia Gallimore, David Waring, Gabriel Wolfe, Helen Lee, Sheila Grant, Charlie Everest, Hugh Manning, and Marise Everest, Nicolette McKenzie. Chief Inspector Murray was played by Peter Craze, Alec Garrard by William Edel, Sally Richardson by Shirley Dixon, Choi Sang Cheng by Eric Young, Ah Fat Chow, Christopher Cum, Chinese Skipper, Bruce Beebe. Other parts were played by John Woo and Rex Way. The play was produced and directed by David Spencer.
The next Saturday, you can hear the second play by Michael Robson, in which Lewis Harper returns to Hong Kong and becomes involved again with Natasha Arabin. But the involvement turns out to be very unexpected.
A number of unpleasant and violent events occurred until at length Van Lint struck a bargain with you.
Waring's been in touch with you.
Van Lint struck a bargain with you. He would allow Miss Arabin to leave Hong Kong in your company, provided you did something for him. That's so, isn't it?
I was to bring a man off Lantau Island and take him to Max Van Lint.
The man being a 22-year-old Chinese named Ah Fat Chow.
Not the most endearing of men.
Well, then, it won't distress you too greatly if I tell you that he's dead.
He's what?
He was found floating in Telegraph Bay 4 days ago. He'd been strangled.
And you think Van Lint was responsible?
Oh, it's tempting to assume so, but there's no proof, of course, there never will be.
Daniel Massey plays Lewis Harper in The Dark Backward, the second of two plays by Michael Robson, and you can hear it next Saturday at 8:30. Well, now, an indication that summer is on its way is the reminder that the 83rd season of Henry Wood Promenade Concerts will be with us soon at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And tickets are now available for the first night, July the 22nd, and the last night, September the 17th. Two kinds of tickets are available, seats and promenade standing places, and they'll be allocated by ballot as follows. Ballot number one, seats for the first night. Ballot number two, promenade for the first night. Ballot number three, seats for the last night. And ballot number four, promenade for the last night. Written applications should be made separately for each ballot and accompanied by an unstamped addressed envelope. The address to send them to is the Royal Albert Hall, London SW7 2AP. And they should reach there by Saturday, the 28th of May. There's no need to send any money at this stage, but would you please make sure that the number of the ballot is clearly marked on the top left-hand corner of the envelope. The opening dates for booking tickets for concerts other than the first and last nights and for season tickets will be announced later, and the prospectus will be available from the 3rd of June, and it'll cost 40 pence. And now, the weather forecast for tomorrow. Scotland and Northern Ireland will have bright or sunny intervals and scattered showers, which will fall as snow on the mountains. England and Wales will start mostly dry with sunny periods, but showers will develop during the morning. These will be heavy again in places, some with hail and thunder. And eastern districts will become mostly cloudy. Temperatures will be similar to those of today. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday, becoming rather cloudy with some rain spreading to most places from the southeast. It'll become warmer later. That's the weather forecast. And now, Big Ben and the news, read by Brian Martin.
BBC Radio News at 10 o'clock. The blowout of the Bravo rig in the North Sea has been sealed by the team of Texans led by Red Adair. The main danger has passed, and production from the rest of the Ekofisk field is to begin again tonight. Mr. Callaghan has said that despite current difficulties, the battle against inflation is being won, and a new economic forecast predicts a rise in real incomes this year. In Northern Ireland, the Protestant groups planning a general strike next week have hardened their attitude, and the Reverend Ian Paisley says he'll resign from political life if the strike call is not heeded. In Pakistan, the Prime Minister made a surprise tour in an open car after a demonstration by opposition supporters failed to make any headway. Football, Liverpool now have a clear lead in the First Division. Wolves have won promotion from Division 2. After the successful capping of the blown-out wellhead in the North Sea, the Texan oil experts have been telling newsmen how they stemmed the flow at their fifth attempt. Red Adair from Houston took his deputies, Boots Hansen and Richard Hatterberg, from the Bravo rig to the emergency headquarters at Stavanger. Our science correspondent, James Wilkinson, was there.
The three men landed by helicopter in Stavanger at about 7 o'clock this evening to a hero's welcome. To them, it had been just another blowout, like the other 35 or so a year which they have to deal with. They described it as a medium difficult one. It would have been 10 times worse, they said, if the blowout preventer had not been on top of the well, even though it was upside down. The extra squeeze they gave the valves moved them just an eighth of an inch closer together, and it was that eighth of an inch which made all the difference between success and failure. When they arrived back on dry land, I asked Boots Hansen what conditions had been like on the platform.
It was risky, but it was worth the risk. It was loud and dirty you work so much in it all, you just had to get out of it. It just...
From the film, it looks as though it was very confined. Was it very confined?
Absolutely.
And how difficult was that to work in?
Well, that was one of the difficult parts of it, being confined, closed in, and offshore and everything like that.
How do you feel now it's finished?